Panda Talks has adult themes and uses adult language. Listener discretion is advised.
So while I'm playing Hogwarts Legacy, I'm realizing I probably knew this before, but I don't remember it. That all of the names of the towns in Pokemon, the original Pokemon games, are colors. Not all of them, I guess I shouldn't say. I don't remember.
Well, yeah, isn't there the infamous Lavender Town?
Yeah, so Lavender Town is like the ghost town, and but there's like let me see, I looked them up even. So there's Palette Town, which a color palette is like a mixture of everything, right? Is that what it is? A palette is like where all your colors are.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
a color palette would be like. Yeah, basically.
Yeah, so I think I knew like some of them were colors, but I think they're all colors. So there's Viridian City, which is the first place you go to, but the last gym. Then there's Pewter, that's a color, right? Cerulean, Vermilion, Lavender, Celadon, Fuchsia, Saffron, and then Cinnabar. I don't think that one's one.
It could be. There's a ton of.
It could be. It just makes me think of Cinnabon and how I want there to be a Cinnabon closer than 30 minutes away.
Gosh, I know. And a Cutbop. I want Cutbop so
Maybe I
bad.
should open a Cinnabon
And a Cutbop.
and a Cutbop, but mostly Cinnabon. I feel like I could retire on a Cinnabon.
I doubt it, but what makes you. Why does Hogwarts Legacy. What's the correlation
Oh,
here?
because I keep getting clothing. And like just a second ago, I got some cerulean gloves, which made me think of Misty because Misty's sister, I want to say her sisters are the leader of the cerulean gym in the original game or in the anime, and then when you go back during like Silver, you have to fight her and cerulean, and she was like one of my first like cartoon crushes, I guess you could say. I don't remember how old I was. I would have been like 10, 12, something like that. But
Old enough to know what a boner was.
old enough to know that I thought she was feisty and attractive.
She's a bit of a bitch.
That's what apparently I'm into. Sorry. I saw my opening and I took it. I apologize. I'm sorry. You forgive me?
Welcome to Panda Talks, where apparently I'm a bit of a bitch.
And I'm a bit of a Brady.
And there's a very real chance that I'll be falling asleep during this episode again.
Oh.
Just because Brady's still playing Hogwarts Legacy. I'm still playing it for his channel, so I'm trying to no spoiler, so I just if I'm not staring at like my screen or my book.
Well, do you want me to turn it off? Because it
No,
makes me very
no, no,
uncomfortable that you have your
no.
eyes
No,
closed
no,
all the
no, no.
time.
Well, I don't want to watch and get spoilers. It ruins the excitement for me, but the authenticity that people come to expect on Attack This YouTube channel. Go check him out. He's a pretty funny guy. You already know that because you listened to this. I am such an asshole and I have to apologize. This should have been last Friday's episode because remember way back when I said, let's go over all the different Wicca Sabbats? Well, last Monday, the 20th, right?
I don't know.
20th, March 20th
Yes, 20th.
was Astara. So I should have put this out first. I completely slipped my mind that it was so close. In my defense, Astara is really similar to the Christian holiday Easter. So I knew it was approaching, but I think because I correlate it with Easter, I was like, oh, it's in April. Surprise. I mean it's one of those ones that holidays that follow the rotation of the earth versus the calendar, so I apologize. I totally my bad. It slipped my mind, but you know what? We're only a business week late, so we can still learn about Ostara. And, you know, today, this fucking weekend has been really hectic for us. So I didn't even get to do anything for Ostara that I wanted to outside. I did a tarot spread. And it started out really depressing, and then it went really uplifting. Depending on our time, maybe I'll share at the end, but we'll see how I feel. We'll see if I fall asleep. Okay, let's jump into it once again. I'm getting my information mostly from the complete grimoire that Brady bought me for Christmas by Lindia Paradas? Maybe if I say it with a Spanish flair, I can...
What is it?
Lindia Paradas. She is from Spain. Alright, well. So, what is I think it's pronounced Ostara. I was saying Ostara, and then you said something today, and that made more sense to me. What did you call it?
I just said it with an accent like Ostara.
No, you didn't. You said something different.
Wait, let me look at it.
And it's... Sorry for the sniffing.
Ostara or Ostara?
Ostra.
I don't know.
At the end of the day, it is Gaelic, and I struggle to pronounce even English words correctly, so please forgive me. You say it your way, I'll say it my way. Potato, tomato. All right. It is the first day of spring. It is a day to perfect balance, a day as day and night split. That doesn't make sense. Sorry, I'm reading in the dark. As day and night split the day into equal periods of 12 hours, it is time to reflect on the duality of light, at life as light and darkness, life and death, are always in balance. So, Imbolc was the first signs of spring. Ostara is, hey, spring is here. And it's Mother Nature is waking up from her sleep. Snow's melting, life is sprouting. It's the season of fertility and celebration and life's ability to rise from the ashes. Honestly, as I was reading through my book today in preparation for this episode, it just sounds like Imbolc part 2. But I guess, you know, put your mindset in back of the day, you know, when ancient people celebrated this. God, you had to get something to get you through the winter, right? You're so depressed, and then all of a sudden, you know, Imbolc comes, and you're like, spring's coming. This is kind of like the sign of spring is here. And I know here in Utah, it's kind of hard to really feel that way, because it's known to snow here sometimes up till June. I feel like we've had snow as late as June at some points. So it still feels pretty wintry, but in all honesty, we're at a higher elevation. So,
well, and we're also thankful because we've been in a drought for the last 30 years. I don't know how long it's been. It's been long enough
that the Great Salt Lake is now so low that people are going to die because of the arsenic in the salt bed. So,
wait,
long enough that...
Is that us or like other people?
Oh, that's us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that dust bowl is going to hit us, baby. We're fucking screwed. If that doesn't get resolved.
But like other people first though, right?
I guess, yeah. This is a perfect opportunity to talk about how we need to move to Scotland. Because you know what's not happening in Scotland? A Great Salt Lake bed draining and then the arsenic being kicked up in the wind and killing everyone. That's not happening in Scotland. We should move.
Yeah, you make it sound like it's so easy.
There are places in Scotland that'll pay you to move there. We should look into that. It'd be more remote. But we could look into it. But we're not here to talk about Scotland. That's you and I can talk later. So, like I said, you'll see a lot of correlation between this holiday and Easter. And have you ever thought, why is that? Because and not just within the pagan belief, but Easter in general, kind of weird, right? Kind of a weird holiday with weird rituals and traditions. I know growing up Christian, I mean, they have so many symbolizations between Christmas and Christ. Oh, the tree represents, I remember, the tree is supposed to represent something. The gifts underneath it are supposed to represent the gifts the wise men gave to Jesus. And the candy cane is supposed to represent, like, his blood he shed for us. And the star on top of it. Like, every little minute thing has some correlation to the birth of Christ. And we celebrate his resurrection with Easter. So I never understood, what do bunnies and eggs have to do with Jesus rising from the dead? Anyone else wonder that? Well, let's...
I feel like I used to know it, but now I have no idea.
I never in my life. Never in my life. So it's starting with the name Easter. The origins of the name Ostara comes from Estra. I don't know how to pronounce it. I think it's pronounced the same. The E might be silent because it's spelt very similar. E-O-S-T-R-E. Estre?
E-O-S-T-R-E.
Well, yeah. She is the dramatic goddess of spring. And I have a very interesting story about her. I will tell you in just 2 seconds. Let's go over the different... I'm having wicked heartburn. I'm sorry. Give me a second. Let's go over the, like, correlations between, like, spring and Easter and why we might celebrate certain things and how it ties back to paganism. So first, the colors. I mean, if you think of Easter, what color scheme comes to mind?
Like pastels.
Pastels, baby. Pastel colors are the most common colors for the Sabbat. They represent the tender spring shoots that are starting to grow. Then, I mean, I think of tulips specifically, but I think of, like, yellow and pink. Yes, pastel colored tulips. But
would you rather have roses on your piano or tulips on your organ?
I'm not into... playing any instruments, so neither. I will say neither.
It was a joke.
I know, it's a joke.
Your epidermis is your hair.
I got a story for you. I'll save it for off air, but... Okay, eggs. Why eggs? How does that tie in? Let's get into it. Eggs represent the potential of life and rebirth of Mother Nature. The round shape links them to the... cycle of life, and the golden yolk leads them to the coming summer sun. This also has to do with this story I'm about to tell you, but I got one more thing we're gonna talk about, and then we'll jump into that. And that is the hare. This animal is strongly related to Ostara due to its fertility. Sometimes hares are also linked to the cycle of the moon and women. Rabbits and hares have been related to the goddess Estre as well. So let's get into this story about her, okay? So like I said, she is the goddess of spring. And I've heard this story told a couple of different ways. I have, like, an actual written something up here. And like everything, take it at face value. Like, take it with a grain of salt. But legend has it that once upon a time, there was a beautiful spring goddess, Ostara. So she went by both names, I'm assuming. Let's see, I lost my place. Who flies through the heavens with her beams of light, bringing spring after the wintry cold. One year she was arriving a bit late. She was feeling extremely guilty as she rushed to bring crisp spring dawn, making up for time lost. She came across a pitiful little bird, its wings frozen from the snow, its life force melting away. Lovingly, Ostara cradled the poor creature and restore its life. She then made the bird a pet. Or a lover in the X-rated version. So, like, you know, bird, a pet, a lover, whichever you prefer. And turned the bird into a snow hare since he could no longer fly. She also gave him the gift of being able to run with astonishing speed so he could easily avoid all the hunters. To honor his earlier form as a bird, she also gave him the ability to lay eggs, in the colors of the rainbow, no less. But he was only allowed to lay eggs on one day of each year. Eventually, Astara lost her temper with the rabbit. Some say he was involved with another woman, and she flung him into the skies, where he would remain for eternity as the constellation Lupus. Lupus, L-E-P-U-S, Lupus.
Lupus? You say L-E-P-U-S? Yeah. Lepus?
Well, I think Lupus, because I know a lot of Harry Potter characters were named after constellations, Draco being one of them. But, I just lost my... Forever possessioning him at the feet of the constellation Orion, the hunter. But later, remembering all the good times they had, once enjoyed, Astara softened a bit and allowed the hare to return to Earth once each year, but only to give away his eggs to the children attending the Astara festival that were held each spring. So, there you have it. If you ever wondered why a random ass bunny shows up and lays eggs for all the children to enjoy, there's its pagan roots. I bet you didn't see that coming.
Mm-mm.
Like I said, I had heard that story before, but it wasn't quite told like that. So, yeah, like I said, take it with a grain of salt. This is a religion that goes freaking way far back. And above all, like I said, I'm still learning it myself. So is this true? Is it false? It's fun to learn about either way. All right, so what kind of magic is good for this Sabbat, you might be wondering? It's very favorable for self-improvement rituals and new beginnings. If you want to start a new project, this is the perfect moment to do so. Remember to ground yourself before starting each new journey. So just like in bulk, it is a time of renewal. And if you think about it, like, I just think spring in general. And like I said, I know we're a week late, but if you want to make any new resolutions or self-improvement habits, like, it's never too late. And, you know, if you practice magic, you're working with the unseen. And who's the strongest wizard in Harry Potter? The ones that don't use wands. Just as long as your intention's good, you can do this whenever. Let's jump into what kind of food is correlated with the Sabbat. The Sabbat is especially related to baking. One of the most traditional recipes in baking is hot cross buns, a type of spiced sweet bun marked with a cross on top. Chocolate ribbons are also eating during the Sabbat. And I know hot cross buns have also been related to the Christian practices representing the cross, which Christ died on. I was actually part of my first time acknowledging Astara and celebrating it. I wanted to make hot cross buns today, but like I said, this week has been an absolute shit show for us. And this book actually does provide a recipe I'm super excited to try, but I ran into an immediate problem, and it's that it takes 2 tablespoons of active dry yeast and 1 tablespoon of lukewarm water. And if anyone does baking, they know that that doesn't work. So, yeah, I looked up other hot cross bun recipes, and they all involved either rum or apple juice. And I didn't have any apple juice. And I didn't have any rum, so we weren't going to do that. Any questions, comments, concerns, Brady?
Not yet.
Are you bored?
No, but I have to go to the bathroom really bad.
Oh, cool. Well, we can quickly get into Astara activities. And like I said, go ahead and do them today or later this week. I don't want you to have to wait till the day. I plan on doing some activities tomorrow or later this week, whenever we have the time. Because I dropped the ball and wasn't able to do anything today. You can practice seed magic. This is something we were supposed to have done, and I hope to do soon. And this was really linked to that Imbolc episode where it talked about planting a seed and then you grow your intention with the seed. It's basically the same thing. Seeds symbolize the upcoming spring, the awakening of Mother Nature after the winter. Plan your garden and start some seeds inside. You can put your intentions in the seed so it grows as the plant grows. I will definitely be doing that. Hopefully tomorrow we'll see. Tuesdays are usually pretty busy for us. All weeks are pretty busy for us. How am I so busy all the time? I don't understand.
We got a lot going on.
We do. Decorate eggs. Use natural dyes to paint your eggs. Decorate them with pagan symbols and drawings to represent spring. Eggshells make great containers to start seeds. Once the plant has grown, you only need to crack the eggshell a bit and you can put it directly in the soil. This author, I think I've mentioned, she's in charge of, it's called Witchy Tips on Instagram, and she's been putting out egg rituals all week leading up to the Sabbath. So I should have looked into that before I started this episode, but unfortunately my phone's being used to record this, so I can't look it up. But that would have been good though. All right, represent balance through your surroundings. You can add decorations to your home to represent the balance between day and night. You use images of the sun and moon, or burn a black candle and a white candle. This next one I thought was pretty cute, and I was actually trying to get... Yeah, long story, I was going to do this for family members, but it didn't work out. And that is, give gifts of potted plants. Give gifts of gift plants to your friends and family to wish them a prosperous year. I actually started a bunch of avocado seeds. They're really easy to grow. They're kind of a hit or miss. They're kind of a 50-50. And I put 8 in to start, and I was going to give them out as gifts, and none of them sprouted. And in fact, they started molding, so I knew it was time to throw them away. And lastly, create a ritual robe. Design and to create an outfit to wear during the celebration of Astara. So those are some fun ideas. Like I said, I definitely plan on doing the fire seed. The seed magic. The seed magic, I would like to make hot cross buns, but maybe next week. Maybe after we go shopping and I'll get some apple juice. Because, yeah, like I said, it's... I was ready to follow this to the T until it's... I was like, that's not how you start yeast. It's not going to grow in only 2 tablespoons of water, especially at that amount. So I don't know where this went wrong. I don't know if she needs to... I don't know. I don't know, dude. But, yeah, we'll just move on. Anything you want to add?
Nope. Sorry if you can hear me clicking.
So let's get into other things you can do as far as altar decorations and symbols. So some decorations you can put on your altar. Here's just like a big old listy list. And let's see, we have baskets, budding twigs, bunnies, cauldrons of spring water, chicks, colored rainbow or ribbons, sorry, eggs, four-leaf clovers, spring flowers, sprouting bulbs. Different animals you can put on your altar would be butterflies, chicks, hares, lambs, rabbits. Robins, is there a difference between a hare and a rabbit?
I think one's wild, but I'm not sure.
And where does a bunny fall into that category?
It's like a slang term, like a kitty.
They're all the same. They're all little snuggly jumper bunny buddies, as far as I can tell. We have, I didn't share this on the podcast, a couple weeks ago, two bunnies appeared in our yard, and they're just fucking up the grass in the garden. But I think they're my good luck omens. At least I'm hoping they are. They kind of disappeared since, and I feel bad about that. And I know my landlord will definitely kill them when he starts his garden, so I need to relocate them. But it's definitely been nice with the arrival of spring happening, mm-hmm. that they're here. It's been cute. All right, so what kind of crystals and stones are good for this Sabbath? Let's go through the list. Amethyst, aquamarine, bloodstone, clear quartz, green moss agate, jasper, moonstone, and rose quartz. Side note, I went to the Rocks show. It was in town this weekend, and I saw a lot of fun stones. I wanted to take all of them home. Unfortunately, I'm poor, so I just bought me a new angelite. I bought an angelite wand, but I was just replacing the angelite that was lost, question mark. We can get into that another day. And then I got a sound bowl. It was pretty fun. Nothing to do with Astara, though. Sorry. So let's get back to it. Colors and candles. So again, pastels, gold, light green and yellow, pale pink, robin's egg blue. Herbs and flowers. Clover, crocus, daffodil. Oh gosh, I've not heard of half of these. I'm going to skip over the ones I don't think I can pronounce. Honeysuckle, irises, jasmine, lemon balm, lilac, lilies, mint, narcissus, peony, tansy, tulips, and violet. Incense and oils would be cedarwood, geranium, grapefruit, jasmine, lemon, lemongrass, lime, patchouli, chamomile, sandalwood, tangerine, vertivert, wild orange, and ylang-ylang. And then for any of my Potter fans out there who like the wood episode that we talked about, if you want to know what trees are associated with Astara, it would be acorn, dragonwood, elder, olive, pine, willow. What was your wand again on Harry Potter?
Oh, shoot.
Can you look it up on the game you're playing?
I think I can. Hold on. My wand. Sorry. Scoot closer.
It's a fur.
It's a fur with a phoenix feather and a brittle flexibility 12 and a half inches.
That'll probably be... Excuse you. That'll probably be associated with, I would guess, Yule, a fir tree.
A fir tree like an evergreen?
You know what? I'm not exactly sure. I'm pretty sure it's what some would call a Christmas tree. Because it's like a piney, prickly boy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a tree expert. I'm going to be quite honest here. I don't know much about trees or the differences between them. All right. Well, that's all I got for Astara is just, I should have listened to our previous episode on Imbolc to get an idea of how we did that episode so I could, you know, try to keep this one similar. I dropped the ball on that. I did proofread my book a little bit. And I should have gone back and listened to the Season of the Witch with Roan Oak and see if he did a episode on Astara. But I didn't do that either. We, like I said, had a hell of a week. top of Brady working, which always, I don't want to complain about it because I don't want to give you more reason to hate your job, but I don't do so well with being a single parent majority of the day. So on top of that craziness, our pump ran out and we were without water for a whole day, and we were down to one car. And it was just pretty stressful, you know? And then today it's Monday. I hate Mondays because it's me solo taking my oldest to school, which doesn't sound bad until you take into account that I have to get, like, on top of getting her ready, which is one of the hardest things ever. I have to get two other kids ready and myself and out the door on time. And then early out days, which is a freaking joke for kindergartners. I have to pick her up early. It was just a nightmare. Today just went to pot. But I feel like every Monday goes to pot. So, yeah, I apologize. I recognized last Friday when the other episode came out that a star was coming up, and I should have prepared an episode already. And yeah, I fudged up. I'm sorry. I've got no more to say on it. Brady, do you have anything at all you want to add?
No.
How do you think you'll be celebrating the arrival of spring this year?
I don't know, to be honest. It's hard because where I work, it's definitely not spring. Because we just got, like, another foot of snow. And then you guys down here got a bunch of rain, which is, you know, good. Rain is always good. But it's just kind of like, I don't know if winter's ever going to end for me.
It will. It'll get summer up there. But, I mean, it's, like I said, it is hard because these are more Celtic base, it's a Celtic based religion, and we're in Utah, so our climates are different. I know they're more northern than us, but I'm fairly certain we have a higher elevation than they do. So it is hard that, I mean, going back to Imbolc, and she talked about bathing in a river, and I was like, I'm not gonna do that, I'd freeze to death. You know, our climate's a lot different than Spain, so, you know, take it for what it's worth. It, as far as the Earth's rotation goes, it is the equinox. That is just how it works, and this is just a holiday humans use to celebrate that fact. But I do think it's, you know, worth noting or practicing self-improvement and practicing gratefulness that, you know, spring is coming, summer's coming, warm months are ahead. We can only get warmer from here. Even if we get a snowstorm tomorrow, we're heading into the warm season. We're about out of the snow. We're gonna start our garden soon, which is a sign that, like, warmer days are coming. I'm feeling repetitive. But does that kind of, I don't know, make you feel better about your situation?
Yeah, I guess I always kind of assumed not to be, that probably sounds stupid. I always assumed it would get warmer. But yeah, but
it's, sometimes you need to be reminded, especially, I just feel like, it has been one of the wettest and coldest winters that it has been in a long while. I'm not complaining because we desperately need it. But it, yeah.
Yeah, it just, well, I don't, it's hard for me because I don't like driving in it. And then, I don't know.
Hey, I found that egg ritual. Do you want to hear about it?
Sure.
On a starry night, write your intentions on an egg. Fertility, prosperity, health, love, happiness, etc. Then bury it and plant a seed or flower above the egg and watch it grow. So that's kind of related to, I mean, what we were already doing with planting your seed with intention. But that egg is just going to be extra fertilization for your plant. Eggshells are supposed to be like hella good for plants.
Yep. I wonder what the difference is between that and as far as like, I don't know, what nutrients you're getting compared to like a, you know, for lack of a better word, a poo fertilizer.
That is a good question, or good, yeah, question, inquiry, I don't know.
Wonderment,
that's a good thing to question. I don't know. I have been studying a lot about plants, gardens lately, just because I want to start my own garden, so I've been following a lot more gardeners on TikTok. But I haven't seen anything. I mean, I'm sure it's there. I'm sure maybe it provides more nitric. Am I saying it right? Nitric. Why can't I?
What are you trying to say?
It's something with an NO.
Nitrogen?
Nitrogen?
Nitrous oxide boosters? Yes.
Because apparently that's super good for plants. I follow this one guy, and it seems like freaking anything organic that you're throwing away will provide that for your plants. Like, he gave me this recipe on how to make plant food out of a tea bag, any flavor, he didn't specify, just a tea bag and oatmeal, and then let it steep for at least an hour, but the longer the better. And that's going to provide nitric oxide for your plants, which is a super booster. Do that once a month. But yeah. Well, I don't really think I have much more to add. Just spring's coming, so just
spring's here.
Be chippa. And I'll try to make some hot cross buns. They sound delicious.
And I mean, even though for us the next 4 days are supposed to be all snow.
But that's to be expected in Utah. I mean, do you remember that one time when we lived in Cedar City and it snowed on Mother's Day and everyone was like,
oh, yeah,
it's the end of the world. And I'm like, it's Utah. And it snows on Mother's Day sometimes.
It was just bad because all the trees had started getting their leaves back and then it snowed.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the reason, that's one of the reasons I found out why all the trees lose their leaves is because when it snows, every little bit that's exposed is holding weight. And so then tree branches were breaking all over the place. And yeah.
Yeah, and our roommate at the time, a tree almost fell on her. If it would have fallen the other way, it would have crashed and killed her. But luckily it fell in our neighbor's front yard and not on her.
I had forgotten about that. But yeah, now that you mention it, I remember.
That's so, on that note about the trees gaining their leaves back and then dying, I currently read a book and it was called The Secret Life of Trees. And I don't know where I fall with this book. I think I put it as like a 3 out of 5 star, like a meh. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it because it was a really good book. It was super interesting. But I think the closest thing I can compare it to is, it was a documentary in, like, a natural life, I'm trying to think, Planet Earth-style documentary in book form. Not that it was bad, it was super interesting, and I was into what it was saying, but I watch natural history, natural wildlife documentaries to go to sleep, because they're boring. And if you're awake, you're going to learn cool things. But if you're trying to go to sleep, it's soothing enough that it can put you to sleep. Makes sense?
Yeah.
So it was a good book, but a bit dull. And, I mean, if you're a super nerd for trees, then you'll love this. But anyway, it talks about how much energy a tree spends growing leaves year after year after year. But that, spending and wasting so much energy to grow trees and then ultimately shed them, is more important and more detrimental to that tree's lifespan versus not shedding the leaves and running the risk of being blown down in the winter winds, because with winter comes windy weather and, like you said, snow, and then that increases the tree's chance of falling over. Think of it like, you know, having your sails out on a ship. If it's too windy, you pull the sails in so you don't get blown about. Same concept. It's more aerodynamic when it's naked. So I thought that was pretty interesting. Thought I'd share with you.
That is interesting.
Okay, well, I can't think of anything else to add.
I can't either. Happy spring, I guess. Finally, it's finally maybe coming. I'm not too worried. Because we've been getting a lot of snow lately, which I believe we need badly. No, I was just saying, as crappy as it's been to have this much snow, because I don't like driving in the snow, but it's nice to get the snow, and nice to get, especially as far as like us being in Utah is concerned, because we've been in a drought for the last, 30 years? I can't remember what I said it. But yeah, it's nice to have a little bit of a break from the snow, but also to keep with the snow, I'll be fine. I'm trying not to look at it like a negative thing, even though I hate driving in it, and that's mainly all I do anymore.
Yes.
I want it to snow more on my days off. That's what I'm hoping for, is more snow on days off and less snow on days that I work.
Yeah. Well, cool. That's our episode. Not as exciting as the first one. I felt real good about In Bulk. I'm kind of questioning this one, but hey, it is what it is. So thank you for stopping by and listening. I've been Amanda.
I've been Brady.
And we can't wait to talk to you next time.
And we love you.